Hey, you guys hear me? Start cheering now! Yeah, let's get this over with!
Woof woof!
Hi, I'm Mike Minotti, and I am a Nintendog.
Hi, I'm Jeff Grubb, and I am a Nintendog.
And we are the last of the Nintendogs.
Woof,
This week, Mario Kart 9 rumors are happening. We're going to talk about the most disappointing Nintendo games. We're just going to have a great time. It's going to be fantastic. Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm tweeting that we're doing the podcast because I forgot to do that before the show.
You know, I can also say that I forgot to do that also.
Also, I'm mad at you.
You should be. I absolutely murdered you.
I don't know if I could be friends with someone who would treat me that way in a multiplayer game. Don't know.
In my defense, it was funny. Yeah, we had our community game nights yesterday, and we did Halo. It was just a fun time. The highlights was I had the hammer, which is like, you know, this big melee weapon that kills people in one hit if you're really close to them. And two people on my team just drove up to me in a Warthog, and they had like the passenger seat open. So I got in there. You can actually use the hammer in the passenger seat. It's like, all right, we have to find someone to kill. And I immediately go, where's Jeff? And like
that
literally
second,
the moment I
that
say
second.
That, we see a guy on the other team. We go right at him, and I throw the hammer down. So first I'm freaking out because we actually killed a guy with the hammer. And then the kill feed said it was you, and I was... that's like a top five moment of happiness.
We're all in the Discord together, so again, I can hear the names, or I can hear like who you're like what's going on generally. And I'm like, okay, I think I understand what they're doing, but I'm going to go this way. They're probably not going to drive around this corner right at this moment. And then, of course, that moment, you drive around the corner, and it was just, I screamed. There's a clip of it. You can hear me screaming, but mostly you hear Mike just losing his mind in glee.
I'm so happy. Christian just shared the clip in our chat.
Very good.
If you're listening to a podcast, go to my Twitch at twitch.tv/Tolkota. You can find the clip there. It was very, yeah, we had a lot of good moments from the stream. I think I played for like four hours of Halo.
That was a good time.
So thanks for joining. We'll do another one soon. We should have some.
We have a regular Mario Kart 8 Deluxe tournament on Saturday morning. So that the details of that are in the Discord. We won't always be streaming that, but we'll always have that like 24 race thing going every Saturday. So keep an eye out for that.
Cool. All right, Jeff, let's get in with some of this news and some of these Nintendo developments. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
So, you know, there's just been a lot of Mario Kart 9 talk in general, and there's some rumors going on that, like, it's in development right now, and it's going to have some kind of a twist, and maybe it's going to be like a Switch Pro or a Switch 2 thing. Jeff, what is your take on all this? Do you have any info here?
Not much. I mean, other than I'm not even a little bit surprised to hear that, like, yeah, Mario Kart 9 is in active development. Like, yeah, of course. I think that they are... they're probably going to try to figure out where this game's going to make sense. And they're probably still figuring that out themselves. They probably have a general plan, but the game's not going to be finished exactly like today. And they're just like, all right, now the rest of the time is figuring out the most optimal way to make the most money from Mario Kart. They're going to keep making it, keep like kind of seeing what happens with the Switch, how the hardware rollout continues to happen, like how the when they're going to start the next generation, stuff like that. And as they keep an eye on that stuff, they'll probably fully decide. I guess, you know, on the other hand, maybe there's a chance that it's coming out later this year and they're just going to go for it. But I am still pretty skeptical of that because there's no reason to rush it.
There's no reason to rush it this year. That seems really unlikely. I know you tweeted like they could just release it on the regular Switch and then like once again do like
have DLC version. And then do the deluxe version with the next system. Right. And yeah, like people are like, well, you know, the next Switch will probably have backward compatibility. And absolutely. But that's not. It's not like even if Mario Kart 8 was still available like for Wii U and you could play it on the Switch or something, Nintendo would just put Mario Kart 8 Deluxe on the shelves instead, sell it for $60, and that's the game that families would buy as they're getting these new things. Like it would make a difference.
Could do that. I still think it's just going to launch for whatever the next.
Yeah, that was me just kind of shooting from the hip. I in general, I think my gut here still says it's a launch game. From the next system, I agree.
Right. And in terms of like it's going to have a twist, I mean, all of them have had a twist. Like Mario Kart Wii, aside from the most controls, had the motorcycles. Then 7 had the hang glider. Then 8 had the anti-gravity stuff. So like the Switch, the twist could not be that much of one. I think that, like, right. I hope it's just they're going all out with the whole Smash Brothers take on things, where it becomes a Nintendo kart racer instead of just a Mario and Friends kart racer. And even then, there's a lot of random little things. Like, even Double Dash had a twist. So yeah, they've all had a twist of some kind or another.
I mean, even Diddy Kong Racing had a twist where you got a plane in a hovercraft. Like, yeah. It's part of this genre where, like, you're going to do something slightly different each time. It's open to that. Like, in general, as long as you are driving in a cart with mascot characters, like, you can kind of do whatever else you want with, like, the set dressing around that. And that's what they'll do. Again, it's not going to be a huge departure.
Absolutely. All right, Jeff, next thing here. Nintendo Switch sold over 5 million units in Japan last year. That seems pretty good.
Yeah, that's really good, I think, because, like, that's kind of thing that you hear, like, oh, like, in the first couple of months, the Xbox Series X, like, probably reached that number, like, worldwide and stuff like that. And it's like, oh, yeah, just in Japan, Nintendo Switch is, like, kind of still doing. I mean, this number blows everything else out of the water. Like, you say 5 million here, for context, that's more than all the other hardware combined in Japan. Yes. Like, that's really impressive, but also kind of the state of the Japanese, like, home console and handheld console video gaming market is Nintendo dominance. It is, like, everything, almost every game on the software chart, if not every game, was a Nintendo Switch game. This is just the way it's going to be. They are, if they're going to show up for console games, it's going to be Nintendo and not, obviously not Xbox, but even not really PlayStation for the most part.
Yeah, it's probably already sold more than Wii U ever did in Japan, just in, like, that one year. Like, the Wii U probably did not sell more than 5 million copies in Japan.
Yep, I think that's right.
Fun little story here. People were talking about the LAPD officers, two of them, ignored a robbery in progress so that they could catch a Snorlax in Pokemon Go instead. So that's funny. They're in trouble.
Yep.
Man, Snorlax is even that rare? Like, who cares? Snorlax?
Yeah, I mean, so this was, like, during an event in 2017 when this happened. So I think probably back then the Snorlax probably was pretty rare. Not an excuse. I don't know. This is, I was at the gas station the other day and I left my van running. It's a keyless start. And I usually lock the van, even keep it running, and I have the keys with me. I apparently did not lock the van. And when I went to the gas station, someone got my van and started to drive it away, it seemed like, and then for some reason, like, gave up and just parked it sideways in a spot. And I'm like, well, that is really friggin' weird. It's weird that this happened. I had not filled up the gas yet, so it was really low, and I think that's probably why they didn't do it.
Oh my God, Jeff.
Yeah. So I get home and I tell my wife about this, and she's like, well, you got to call the cops. And I'm like, they're not gonna do anything.
Yeah, what the hell are the cops? Yeah, like, someone kind of stole my car, but they gave up. They're not gonna care.
Yeah, and not trying to put my wife on blast or anything. That's not what this is. But this is just me, like, I would never call the cops for almost anything, but especially for that. Like, they're just not going to come and care. It would just be a waste of everybody's time. And I think that even if I were actively being robbed, it almost feels like sometimes, like, this is the kind of thing you might be dealing with.
They took your car, they may not have been able to help.
Right. And they even if they could, they wouldn't. They're probably just going to, like, I have other things I'm going to do. And it's like, okay, yeah, like, what is the point of you? Right. The LAPD is
stolen, I guess.
Hey, me too. I'm lucky man. I'll just say that. Like, I looked out there.
You kept the door unlocked and your keys were inside the car?
No. My keys were on me, but it's keyless start, so it was running.
Oh.
And it doesn't, like, shut down if, like, you start to drive away and it doesn't detect the key because, like, maybe your key battery dies. I, like, looked into this afterwards and it's like, no, they could just drive it away. But if they were to turn it off, they wouldn't be able to turn it back on at that point.
A strike against the whole keyless car thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know whose fault it really is? Mine.
Yeah,
mine. So.
I was trying to make you feel a little bit better, but yeah, you fool.
No, don't worry. I'm like, I'm well aware of, like, oh, okay. So, and I've been very vigilant about locking my car and turning it off and stuff. My point here is just like, this reaffirms my decision not to call the police.
None of us are shocked that two police officers caught a Pokemon instead of stopping a crime.
Yes, like, that's right. Exactly. No one should be.
Of course that happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff. So Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity has officially sold over 4 million units worldwide. That seems pretty good for that game, right?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's got to be one of the best-selling Warriors games ever, right? If not the best.
That's like, you can think of it as a Zelda game. Or is that even as a Zelda game, that might be, like, more than Link's Awakening sold, honestly.
Right.
Sure. That's pretty good.
That's very good. I think they're going to keep doing these. I think they're gonna keep doing Nintendo like related like affiliated sort of warrior games. I don't know. They'll probably just do, I would imagine they'll find another genre, like thing like Zelda to do, and they'll just do another Zelda one if they can't find another one of those. But they're gonna keep doing these, I think. So
I bet the next one won't be Zelda. I bet they'll figure something else out there, and maybe it'll be weird. Maybe it'll be real weird.
Fair enough.
All right. Former Sega president wanted Virtual Fighter 3 and Crazy Taxi on the Nintendo 64. This was a fun little story that came out. James Milkey actually talked about this back in his day. Apparently, the Sega America president just kind of went rogue. And like, this is like the Dreamcast is still a thing. It like made some deal to try to get Virtual Fighter 3 and Crazy Taxi on the Nintendo 64. And like, it was signed. But once Sega Japan found out, they're like, no. Jeff, can you even imagine what the hell Crazy Taxi and Virtual Fighter, like models, like Sega Model 3 board games on Nintendo 64, those would look awful.
Yeah. I don't know. This is it's the kind of thing where when you look back on it, it's you're like, I'm glad this didn't happen. But also it's like, what was Sega even going to do at that time? They were so lost. They had like, as soon as the Genesis was over, they were lost. So of course they were trying to think every single possible option here.
Yeah, but gosh, Nintendo 64 Virtual Fighter 3, that's just, I can't even, that is just the...
What is the earliest Virtual Fighter game we got on any 3D? Not Virtual Fighter 3, but Virtual Fighter 3 was such a good looking game too. Like Virtual Fighter 3 was fantastic looking. Like what was the first Virtual Fighter to show up on a home console? I think it was a Virtual Fighter 1.
Saturn. Yeah,
but was it on 32X?
So there was the port of Virtual Fighter 2 or one of them was on 32X, and it actually did work. The original port of Street Fighter 1 wasn't even good. They actually redid it and kind of sent it for free. Okay. Virtual Fighter 2 on the Saturn was very good though. But yeah, like they weren't close to arcade quality. Really, Virtual Fighter 2 was actually pretty good.
Those early Virtual Fighter games were very primitive looking, and then I remember seeing Virtual Fighter 3 and like, they had like cloth physics and the coat would like spin as the character would spin and it looked incredible. Yeah. And that would never, ever, ever, ever would have worked on the Nintendo 64. It would have looked atrocious.
There's technically a Virtual Fighter game for the Genesis, but they demade it as like a 2D fighting game and it's not very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I forgot to put this rundown, but just a little earlier today, Ubisoft announced that the Assassin's Creed Ezio collection is coming to the Switch, and that'll be on February 17th, and that includes Assassin's Creed 2, Brotherhood, and Revelations, and all their DLCs. 2 and Brotherhood are still generally considered like some of the best Assassin's Creed games.
Yes, those are great games.
Yes, I like them all. I don't know if I really want to go back to them.
But they'll be fine on Switch, at least. It's like they should like totally run great on there. And I think I have an Assassin's Creed trilogy. It must have been the one with Rogue and Black Flag or something. And I think I have that on the Switch, and I haven't played those, so I'm not going to buy this until I at least play some of those first. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, next thing here. Team Asano at Square Enix has confirmed that they will release and announce multiple titles in 2022 other than Triangle Strategy. So this would be, you know, this is the guy in his team that does Triangle Strategy, Bravely Default, and Octopath Traveler. I wonder what else could be going on here. He also did like a Final Fantasy IV remake and stuff like that back in the day. I wonder if maybe there'll be other remakes. It's probably too soon for another Bravely Default something. I don't think there's going to be an Octopath Traveler 2. I guess there could be. But I wonder if this isn't them working on remakes also. I'm always kind of hoping, but they already sort of wasted time sort of on the Pixel Remaster, whereas I don't know why they didn't just get these guys to say remake Final Fantasy VI with the, you know, Octopath Traveler style graphic, basically what they're doing.
Yeah.
With Dragon Quest 3 with the 2D HD thing. Right.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, they need to really execute on that technology in a bunch more ways than they have been. Like Octopath Traveler wasn't for everybody. Yeah. It looked incredible. Exactly. This is the thing where it's like, that looked incredible. Triangle Strategy looks incredible. I'll be right there to try it, 'cause I like tactics games. Hopefully it's one that wins me over. But if it's not, like, they also need to be just like probably remaking these old games in that style. And that would be a fantastic use of that deck.
Just said, remake Chrono Trigger or pray for Chrono Trigger, Mike. It's like, you know, like, why not? If I was in charge of Square Enix, I would be like, that would make money.
Yep.
Do that.
Yep. But I agree.
Who knows? It could be doing any number of things. All right. Last thing here. Tetris 99 Cross, Pokemon Legends, Arceus, 28th, Maximum Cup will begin on January 20th. This is the next crossover thing with Tetris 99. Jeff, are you going to play the Arceus version of Tetris 99?
I always want to do these, and I never get around to doing it. I've never, like, so many have been, like, exciting to me, and then I have always forgotten. So I'm going to say yes. So I'm going to say this is it. This is the one.
This is the one? The Arceus one?
Yep. This is the one.
Fair enough. Jeff, are you ready?
Real quick. I just want to say there's an analyst that was over on gamesindustry.biz talking about, like, oh, what he expects to happen. And he says that they have their forecast is for a Nintendo next gen console in late 2024. And he says he's not convinced a pro model is going to appear at all. How does that sound to you?
That sounds almost a little later than I would have thought. That's like it's on the late end of what I'd imagine, right? Late 2024. Yes. I am also super kind of on board the whole there will be no pro model thing at this point.
At this point, me too.
It's going to be a Switch 2.
Yes, it does not. It doesn't make sense anymore. No.
Right. I do think, but like having said that, so that would basically mean three more full years of support for just the base model of a Switch. That seems a little rough. 2023, again, I don't know what the analyst is going off of. It's just me, like, guessing. But late 2023 seems to make a little bit more sense to me.
Yeah, I'm like, again, I was in that six-month window of late 2023, early 2024. We're probably going to begin to hear the very early rumblings of something later this year, right? That's probably when we'll start to hear something. And then we probably won't actually, like, get a look at this thing until 2023. Like, they probably won't give it a name or even a code name until then. But then at that point, it's like anything goes at that point. Like, it could show up in March of 2023, for all I know. So we'll see.
It's going to be super interesting to see what they call it, man.
Yes, for sure.
They should probably just be called a Switch 2. And they probably
I almost wonder if it should be like Switch. Just call it a Switch again and have it be like it, like,
just, like the Xbox thing now, Switch Series.
Like the iPhone thing.
iPad,
actually.
iPad. I understand the reasoning behind that stuff, but I hate it.
Fair enough. I just wanted to bring that up real quick. Let's keep going.
No, it's good. But we are going to get into questions here. And if you guys have any questions you want to ask, you can do it in a super chat. I know we got at least one super chat in. You can also send a super chat if you want to contribute to our topic this week, which is what is the most disappointing Nintendo game for you. Before we do that, let's get to these questions. We've got quite a few of them. Dr. Suss asks, given that Switch cartridges are coated with bad tasting products to deter kids from eating them, do you think we'll get a new flavor Switch cartridge to differentiate from the current taste on the Switch 2?
Yeah, we'll get cool ranch bad taste.
Cool,
I think.
Ranch batteries. There you go. Yeah. I'm excited for it. It is upsetting. Not upsetting. It's something that, you know, that as soon as Switch 2 comes out, like, the first thing people are going to do is taste the cartridge.
Yeah, the big difference now is that it'll be on TikTok instead of anywhere else. Yes. Like, that'll be the only difference.
Things have changed.
Yep.
1UP versus CPU says, for the last year or so, the rumor was that Metroid Prime Trilogy was done and ready to go. Now it's that there's a Prime 1 remake coming and nobody's talking about a trilogy. Is Metroid Prime Trilogy canceled? Are both coming? Are either made by Retro?
Yeah, so this is, I've explained this a few times before. The thing I was hearing about was Metroid Prime 1 remaster slash remake, whatever that ends up being. Probably closer to a remaster than a remake, based on the current definition of those words. And when I heard that, I conflated that with the Metroid Prime trilogy. And so I was saying Metroid Prime trilogy is coming. It, like, they've been working on it a ton. It's probably close to done. They're probably just sitting on it. And that was based on a lot of stuff I was hearing. And then as we got a little bit closer to today, like in the last year or so, the more details I've been getting about it have all been, it is a Prime 1 remake slash remaster and not a trilogy. And if they're going to do anything with 2 and 3, that'll come later and it's not a guarantee. Right now, they're just focused on getting Metroid Prime 1 out. And the other people who have heard about this have heard similar things now. So that's it's just it's just a situation where you have incomplete information and I started filling in some of the gaps myself and I did that incorrectly.
Well, I mean, up until now, it has always been kind of brought together as a trilogy. So I don't blame you. If I heard the remastered Metroid Prime, I would also think they meant the whole trilogy.
Yes, that's exactly how I thought about it. Yes.
Super Ree says, if you could add any new twist to a Nintendo franchise, what would it be? I'll add a Forza Horizon style open world of Mario Kart. Imagine the collectibles and challenges we'd get with Nintendo's level design. That'd be pretty neat. Just thinking about this off the top of my head, if I would like for them to make another, like a good 2D Yoshi game again, and for the hell of it, just make it a Metroidvania. Why not? Imagine like a giant explore world with the Yoshi Island mechanics, and you're getting upgrades and stuff, like different Yoshi transformations even, right? Like that stuff. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I'm like, I feel like all the obvious ones have like been done recently, like open world, like full open world Zelda, open world Mario has happened.
3D Kirby.
Like yeah, 3D, we're getting a 3D Kirby, right? Where there was a few others I was thinking of that we got. Oh, even like an open world Star Fox. We got that Ubisoft game that had like the Star Fox R-Wing in it. And that's like a pretty good Star Fox game if you look at it in that, through that lens. I can't remember the name of that, but it was the Toys to Life game. So I'm like struggling to like to come up with anything.
Star Fox RPG.
Star Fox, go back and do like a full Star Fox RPG instead of like a Star Fox Zelda. But like they've done like a Zelda version of Star Fox.
Yeah, they go
places with all their IPs. So it's like I get kind of hopeful that they'll go back and do a lot more of that stuff in the future. But it's hard to like come up with any exact one thing. I don't know. Maybe let's just do an open world Metroid Prime game, like after 4, like just go make it a little bit more like Halo Infinite and see if that works. But
say, isn't like Metroid Prime already an open world game, kind of
a little bit. Yeah, I'm not even sure if I fully want that, but playing Halo Infinite, I got small, tiny bits of Metroid Prime vibes. Just mostly that was the isolation. But I'm like, hey, it works here. Maybe that could work with Samus, but whatever. I just want Metroid Prime 4 to be a Metroidvania.
Jedi Moss 4 says, how weird is it that Pokemon Legends is out in just a couple of weeks in January? It is pretty weird.
Yeah, it's really weird. Yeah.
They've been amping up a bit. They've released some videos like showing a little bit more of the game and stuff. And I'm still just like, man, I have no idea if this is going to be good. We'll see. But we'll find out soon. Winnie featuring Dante from Devil May Cry asks, do we know if Atlas's Project ReFantasy, being developed by the Persona 5 team, I think, is going to follow the Atlas model of bizarre exclusivity? They had a lot of interesting Nintendo exclusive titles like Radiant Historian, Etrian Odyssey, while Sony ran the Persona and spinoffs aside. Is there any indication how the game is going for release or development? I don't know too much about Project ReFantasy personally, but it is weird how well Atlas supported the 3DS and how much less it's hard to say it's much less because we did just get Shin Megami Tensei 5 for the Nintendo.
Yeah, but it's like their games are bigger now and they're HD now. And on the 3DS,
the Switch is bigger.
Yeah, exactly. You just kind of had to make, just the graphical quality. Like you can make lower quality assets on the 3DS and ship it out that way. Now you have to like make these detailed HD games and that creates a lot more work. And Atlas is not... A lot of Japanese companies were like slowly catching up to that. It took them a long time, but at this point, they've been caught up for years. Not every Sega studio has actually been caught up, though, and that includes Atlas.
Yeah, and we don't know very much about ReFantasy in general yet, but just because it's that team, like I am expecting PlayStation 5 for that one, really. All right, next question here from B Papa. Although maybe more a theory, I'm hoping you guys would either validate or shoot down. We've heard that Sega got some sort of sweetheart deal for Genesis games on Nintendo Switch Online, and that's how the economics for the expansion pass makes sense from Nintendo's perspective. My question is, what are the chances that we see these same revenue share terms extended to other publishers? For example, imagine Castlevania, Mega Man, Final Fantasy offered to expansion pass subscribers from the existing NES and SNES apps. I know many of these games are already in collections, but some of them have been around for years, so maybe they've reached their full sales potential and Capcom, Square, Konami, etc. can think of Nintendo Switch Online as a new potential revenue stream. I mean, you know, those are just always going to be individual deals, and we have seen some of those, like Contra Hardcore and Castlevania Bloodlines are offered in the Genesis Nintendo Switch Online stuff, even though Super Castlevania 4 and Contra 3 are in the Super Nintendo area, and none of the Mega Man games are in anything. So it's weird, especially, you know, if Capcom, they're probably just going to be happier making their own collections like they do with Mega Man and a lot of other things than just offering them up to Nintendo for those purposes. Same thing with Square, right? I don't think Square has anything on either of those. There's no way Square's going to be like, yeah, you can add Chrono Trigger to Nintendo Switch Online, right? It's just not going to happen.
Was Chrono Trigger even on the Super Nintendo Classic?
No. Final Fantasy 3 was.
Yes, there were some games.
They gave them something, yes, but not Chrono Trigger. Chrono Trigger was probably the most prominent like thing missing from that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I think that to be on the expansion pass, these games, it makes sense that it's a Genesis because it's like that's a platform. If you just start saying, oh, and now we're going to put games from Square Enix on here and they're Super Nintendo games still, like that, we all understand that. But there's a wider audience they're trying to sell to that's going to be like, wait, now there's Super Nintendo games and this expensive one. I thought I was going to get all the Super Nintendo games on for this $20 a year thing. So it would be pretty difficult to sort of thread that needle, I think. It doesn't mean Nintendo wouldn't do it, but I don't know. I think they are going to try to stick to the idea of platforms and consoles as like the thing that they put into the expansion pass. Right. So
they're, yeah, I imagine they're all individual deals. Like Nintendo would have to pay more for a Chrono Trigger and then for Joe and Mac too.
Right.
Right.
So probably not more than Vector Man though. Vector Man's got to be that real money.
Yeah. So yeah. So apparently the team making that re-fantasy thing from Atlus, it's not exactly the Persona 5 team. It is like a new spinoff team that included people from the Persona team. So there you go. Turbo Sean says he got that information from an article that I wrote. Look, I write a lot of things. I don't remember right. all of it. Give me a break. Yeah. It's like, this is beginning to sound familiar. T-Beaks 15 says, during the Mario Kart tournament this weekend, the topic of the next Switch launching with a brand new Mario Kart came up. Obviously, the game would sell well, as it always does, but do you think it would be an automatic success? To me, Mario Kart just doesn't seem like a system seller to me. To me, it's just a game that almost everyone buys to complement the games they buy the system for. If we go back to the Wii U, Mario Kart 8 came out within 7 months of release, and obviously that couldn't save the Wii U. Would you guys consider Mario Kart a true system seller, like Breath of the Wild was for Switch? At first I was like repulsed by your question, but then I thought about it. I was like, I see what you're saying. So yeah. Everybody who gets a Switch buys Mario Kart, but they don't really buy a Switch because they have to have Mario Kart.
Yeah, but it's part of the argument.
Maybe there's some truth there. It's hard. Like, how can we really get that data?
Right. It's a chicken and egg situation a little bit, but for the most part, to me, it seems like it's a system seller for families. Cause when families are convincing themselves that like, okay, we're going to spend this money on a Switch for everybody, they look at the list of games. They don't look at any one game. They're like, what is going to be available that's going to keep us entertained? Well, we know we're going to get Mario Kart and maybe we can get Mario Party. And then they're like, right there's something all of us can play together. And that's a big win. And so in that, like by the strict definition right there, it is helping to sell the console. But I mean, is it the kind of thing that you have to have the system to play in the way that we mean it when we're talking about, I guess, like a God of War or something, or like a Zelda? Maybe not exactly, but also I think that's just different audiences. I think that's just different groups of people, and families are like, we've seen with the Switch have been actually the most important and the ones that continue to show up month after month after month. And so catering to them and giving them something to convince them that it's worth the money is probably going to be the most important.
And more importantly, they don't need Mario Kart to be a system seller. They need Mario Kart to be a game, once again, that everybody buys because they have a Switch. Everyone, right. People are the Switch 2 is going to sell well at first, unless they somehow like Wii U it up at right, yeah. Which I guess is possible. Yeah. is that same company, sure. But if they are reasonably smart about it, the next Switch should sell very well. And then everybody who gets one, if Mario Kart 9 is a launch title, it'll be something like an 80% attach rate or something ridiculous. So,
yeah, sounds right.
Velocity Prime Ones asks, why are all of our opinions bad? I don't know.
Well, we'll find out pretty soon what those opinions are.
Yeah. Dr. Suss, a lot of people are talking about Mario Kart 9 being potentially a launch game for the Switch successor. Given the Switch's massive success and the eagerness of gamers for the next generation of the hardware, the next-gen Switch is going to sell regardless of what it launched with, like PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. Hey, I just was saying this. My overall question, can games with backwards compatibility really ever be system sellers? If you play it on your current hardware, is there any FOMO for the next gen hardware? Games, I mean, they can't. Backwards, the whole thing is just so muddled anymore. But look, like Switch 2 is going to sell because it is a new video game system. I was even going to say Nintendo system, and these days, I don't even know if that matters. Like you said, PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. They just sold because they were new, and everybody likes video games so much right now.
Yeah.
That, of course, everybody just wants them.
And, like, I mean, system, I don't know. To me, Spider-Man Miles Morales seems like a PlayStation 5 system seller. You know what else that's on? PlayStation 4.
Right.
People are buying the PlayStation 5 because they want a PlayStation 5, but, I mean, one of the reasons they're probably doing it is because, like, I was going to play it. Like, do I just get and play on PS4? No, I want to play it in the best way possible right now. And so I got to get it because I know this game is great because everyone talks about it. It sells so much every month. It's this. I just watched that Spider-Man movie. I'm desperate for more Spider-Man stuff. To me, that is a direct example of what you're asking there.
Jayden says a huge. here we go. What would you rather have for Switch 2? A huge improvement in performance, but weak battery, or a really good battery, but not as significant of a performance boost? I want a performance boost. I don't care what it does to the battery. Like, as long as it's not ridiculous, like 1 hour battery life or something. No, my right. biggest thing is I want 60 frames per second for like the vast majority of my games on a Switch 2.
Yeah, we've had about 2 to 5 hours of battery life, if that, for every handheld pretty much since the DS. The DS was pretty good, but like the PSP and the Vita and the Switch now, and really all these things, like 2 to 7 hours is kind of the range you were getting. And so they're going to stay in that range. And as long as they're like in the 2 to 5 hour range, even 2 to 4.5, they'll be fine and they'll go for it. And they'll give us that power upgrade. We're going to get a significant power upgrade though.
Gittittles asks, do you think Super Nintendo World and Universal Hollywood, easy for me to say, in Universal Hollywood will open in December to coincide with the Mario movie? Granted, I'm not as in tune with what's going on in the California parks as the Florida ones, but it could open December. I do not think they're that concerned with doing it in time for the Mario movie. That thing is going to be a big hit, whether it coincides with a game launch or a movie launch or whatever. I am curious, like, how if they're going to do any tie-ins with that movie or not. I guess it will depend on how popular it is. There's a lot of Illumination stuff happening at the parks. They just closed Shrek 4D in Universal Studios Orlando yesterday. What? Yeah, sure. Yeah, Shrek 4D is done, so that one's closing. And they've been teasing.
What are children going to think?
They're going to think that Universal doesn't love them anymore. Yeah, well, that's right. How do your kids feel about the Minions?
I've so far mostly kept them away from it, so they don't think anything about it yet.
So they've been teasing very heavily that it's getting replaced with a Minions something, even though there's already a Despicable Me attraction, like simulator in that park, and there's going to be a Minions like ride where Shrek 4D was, which is
all right. I guess it's time to get them into Minions.
There you go. Skittittles also asked, Jeff, do you remember meeting me in 2006 at Circuit City in Highlands Ranch when you were writing a story about people camping out for PlayStation 3s while you were still editor-in-chief at Kotaku? I think you were going by your maiden name, Brian Crescente.
yeah. Did Brian Crescente really used to live out here? I think he used to live out in Colorado, right? I think that's right. Yes, I do remember that. Absolutely. But I've since entered the witness protection program, and here I am.
Is Kotaku really that old, man? When did
Kotaku's very old, yeah.
I remember it was like Kotaku and Joystick were like basically new, like on the same level.
Oh yeah, me too. And yes, totally.
Long gone.
Yeah, and it was very easy to be like, I'm a Joystick guy, even though I was like a one, but like of the blogs. I went to both. Yeah, I went to both too.
Jump Matt asks, why have we gone so long without a Wario platformer? I'd even settle for a Wario Land Shake It port to Switch. I think Wario Land Shake It did not sell well, and that's why we have gone so long without a Wario platformer.
Yeah,
to answer your question, it's a bummer, especially because Wario Land Shake It was like definitely the best looking 2D Wii game because they literally just did the whole actually doing hand drawn like art thing for it, and it looks fantastic. Like it just looks like a cartoon, and I would love to play it. Actually, I never have, so I'm part of the problem. But if they ported to Switch, I absolutely would. I'm actually playing Wario Land 3 right now, and I'll talk about that a bit later. But yeah, I wish they would just do like a compilation of the 5 main Wario Land games, right? I don't think anybody is going to be too upset they don't include Master of the Skies in there. But yeah, Wario Land 1, 2, 3, 4, and Shake It. That'd be fantastic.
Yep, that'd be a good time.
Hero Select says, just wanted to say that listening to you guys talk about games on a weekly basis is something I always look forward to. Keep on kicking ass. Thank you, Hero Select.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Nintendo Bro, alluding to, I think, a bad take regarding our question, says, what do I need to do to reverse my impending ban from the Discord? Cash will always work. I'll tell you what, that doesn't hurt.
Yep, we accept bribes. This is true.
Yes. All right, Jeff, I think we should, I like what we do. We just, I know we have questions from the community, but we'll save those at the end because some of them are going to be answers to our topic.
Sounds good.
Just do them all in one go. But first, we're going to take a short break, and then we are going to be talking about those disappointing Nintendo games.
Okay.
And we are back already, Jeff. We had our topic this week, and it is, what is your most disappointing Nintendo game? Jeff, I am very curious to hear which Nintendo game just ripped your heart out and threw it onto the ground and then did a big old butt stomp to it.
Yeah, I don't, there's actually a lot of answers to this. I think that if I'm just like going to go with a game, one of the games that I wish that I had really high hopes for, and then it had like, I've never actually enjoyed a single second of it, is probably Star Fox, what's the GameCube one? The name of the
Adventures?
Star Fox Adventures, the Lylat Wars, or whatever they were going to call it.
It's Dinosaur Planet. Lylat Wars is just what that series is called in Europe, you idiot.
Yeah, fair enough. Dinosaur Planet. Yes, the idea of a Zelda Star Fox game is really solid. There's something there, really just kind of like letting you play as Fox himself, Fox McCloud, and going around to different planets and then like going through temples or whatever. There's an idea there. I don't know what about it is, though. It's just a joyless game. So when I actually sat down to play it, and even when I go, like, a lot of times I go back to games now and I'm like, oh, I just was like maybe too impatient at the time. I'll find something fun here. Even if I've done that with this game, I've never really been able to enjoy it. They just completely missed the mark with it. And so it's one where I had a really high hopes back then. And then ever since then, it's just been a disappointment.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat with that one. Every time, like, even conceptually, I wasn't that interested in it. But every time I try it, I can't get into it. Although recently I assumed the same thing about Star Fox Assault, which is like the Namco made Star Fox game that has a lot of third person like on ground sections. But I played that recently. I'm like, yeah, this is actually kind of fun. There's nothing wrong with this. So I wonder if maybe I'd be kinder to Star Fox Adventures now. Someday I want to try it again. But I imagine I am probably going to not be too into it. We'll see.
Yeah, at this point, I'd almost rather just go back and try to play that Dinosaur Planet game that leaked. I know it's unfinished and everything.
Right.
I would rather just play that. Yeah.
I think mine is a relatively popular answer here, but Sticker Star sure was a disappointment for me.
Yeah, that's a bad game, actually. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. So, like, Paper Mario is sort of for me, because the first Paper Mario was actually really disappointing to me at the time, because I just wanted Super Mario RPG 2. And at first, that's what, like, that game's, like, code name was or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was like, well, it's called in magazines. So I was like, oh, Super Mario RPG 2? Wow, I can't wait to go on another adventure with, like, Mallow and Geno again, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not really that. It's kind of that. So, but by Paper Mario 2, I was completely over that. And I really warmed up to the idea. And I loved Thousand Year Door. I thought it was great. And, Super Paper Mario was weird, whatever. I wasn't upset about it. I always understood what it was trying to do. It was, like, a weird spinoff thing. But Sticker Star, I was like, right, yeah, it's like the next Paper Mario. It's a turn-based RPG again. It was just not good at all.
Yeah, they try to rework the battle system too much every game. And that was one where it's just like they are using the worst elements of any turn-based RPG, where it's like it's all usable items.
Yes.
And it's a bad concept.
I hate the items. I'm always that guy who just hasn't built all the items at the end.
Everybody is, though. Everybody is. Because you want to save them for when you really need them. And so you're just going to like play the mechanics otherwise. You're going to figure out how to get really good at the mechanics. Well, that's not what this game. There are no of those mechanics. It's just using the items. It's a baffling choice. A really bad choice. Also, it's just like a boring structure, too. Like the going from level to level on the overmap and like having to like go through these linear sort of. It was just it's a bad game, actually.
No fun partners anymore. Like,
yes.
Like the story was de-emphasized to the point that it's just nothing. Like, who cares?
Right.
Gosh.
It's boring. No partners. And at least the mechanics stink. Like, yeah, it's just an all around bad game.
And then it kind of somehow that became like the basis for the franchise. So Color Splash, I just ignored. And some people defend it now. Apparently its writing is pretty good, but it's still like mechanically very similar to Sticker Star. I just don't think I can ever do it. And then Origami King, I know. Again, it was like at the time people were like, no, this one's actually pretty good, but I still just couldn't do it. I tell you what, a bit over a year later or whatever, it sure seems like no one talks about that game anymore at all. So I feel almost justified in ignoring it, even though some people are trying to like tell me, no, maybe give it a shot.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to.
No, I feel you. I didn't. I never played Color Splash either. I remember it came out since I've lived in Colorado, so it couldn't have been. I guess I've lived here like 7 years now. So, but then the most recent one was pretty good, but it's still not Thousand Year Door. So, I'm like, oh, just kind of get closer and closer. And then really, again, it was the battle system that was like the boring part here. The best part of Origami King is when you actually get to the point where you could just jump on enemies and take them out with without going into the combat. So it was like, hopefully they fully figure it out with the next one. It's still a franchise that I like, but also it's like, I mean, they're going to make another one, I think. So.
They are, but I'm just, a big part of what made One in Thousand Year Door so good were those partner characters, which were like just slight spins on the enemy types. And now we know there's this mandate where they literally just like, you can't give a bomb a hat anymore. Like that's like some big, like sacrilegious no-no now, which is bizarre. So they had to get over that at least. Like I saw that there was like a bomb you partnered with in Origami King, but like again, it's just he just looks like a bomb. He has like
he's a great character because of his personality and the writing, but visually he's just a bomb, and that's it's another just bad choice because I don't know
what they could merchandise that character. People could merchandise, but also
like. Like, you know, there's a reason that, like, my kids watch that Spidey and His Amazing Friends show. And there's a reason that Miles Morales, when he's just Miles Morales, wears black and red clothes. It's so the kids know which one's Miles Morales. And, like, as adults, like, we are pretty much just as stupid as that. And it's like, you need to make a Bob-omb look different if it's a special character, like, a part of the story, so that we can memorize it and like, internalize it. And that's just, like, good storytelling. And they're like not even willing to do that because they have some weird hang up about it. And it's right.
It feels completely random. So, yeah, I really want them to get over it. Jeff, we have a lot of community responses, so much so that I do apologize, but I think I am going to have to summarize
We get the gist.
I literally have like 5 pages worth of these. Thank you all. We have a lot of first timers and everything, too. But yes, let's see what people were saying for this topic. Rumham says, I think it's got to be Other M. I was in Super Gaming in the Wii era, so I missed all the backlash to it. I found out about it a few years back and thought a third-person Metroid game would be awesome. I found a copy in the shovelware bin for $5, and we tried it, thinking it couldn't be that bad, but it really was.
Can you imagine finding a Nintendo game in the $5 bin these days? That wouldn't happen anymore.
That just wouldn't happen. He goes on to complain about the whole, you know, Adam not letting her use her powers, and he says, okay. Jeff, I was something of an Other M defender. Just watching you play it, though, even I'm like, why am I defending this game? Yeah, I don't know. I think at the time I wanted to defend it because, you know, we weren't getting many Metroid games. It's like, well, this is what we got.
And like, there's something to it. Like, moving around in the 3D space, even with the D-pad, like, it's really snappy. And yeah, like, is it the counter or the dodge, whatever it is, like, way overpowered, but it still feels good. So it's like there's a lot of cool stuff happening there. It is everything around it. And even like the exploration isn't that great. So it's like it's missing some very important Metroid stuff. And then also, yeah, the Adam stuff is just terrible for sure.
And it was a game that we were pretty excited about. We're like, of course, these guys making a new 2D Metroid game. And we could try it and do some more.
I remember that was definitely the time, though, whenever I would hear like, OK, and Nintendo's bringing in this third party publisher to help make this game. And I was always like. That's before I realized they did that a lot. But like when I would hear that, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to wait and see. And so like when the game came out, it was that I just skipped it at the time. That's why I didn't play it until recently. So
Pinball Jr. says New Super Mario Brothers 2 was very disappointing to me. I love the first one. 100% it multiple times.
Good answer.
It was like the art style that was getting boring with the Wii game. All they added was a bunch of coin themed levels and power ups. Yeah, I think the only thing that saved me from being disappointed in New Super Mario Brothers 2 is that I was already over the New Super Mario Brothers thing at that point.
Yeah.
But I know this one still, I think most people, when they're like ranking the core Mario games, this often shows up at dead last.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know. I it's completely boring somehow. I kind of got into the idea like when they were promoting it of collecting all the coins. And when I played, it was just like, how is this so boring? I need to go back and try it again and see.
I don't know if you do. Like, I think it's one. Like, I played it. I remember there being a lot of coins, but like remembered nothing else about it.
So the Wii New Super Mario Brothers 1 is fantastic. So is the Wii U 1, but the Wii one especially is really good.
The Wii U 1 was good, but I was also just so like, it's that I didn't care. And honestly, when I replayed it, when it came to Switch and I reviewed it, I still felt the same way. Like, I don't care anymore about this kind of Mario game. Wildfire Alex says, my most disappointing Nintendo game was without a doubt Metroid Prime Federation Force.
I was like, wait, why are you pausing there?
Talk about a really bad attempt at a Metroid game, especially when it's a multiplayer driven one. You can see what Nintendo was going for here, but the execution was not great. Being limited on Nintendo 3DS also didn't help anyways. I think I was saved from being disappointed in this just because I was immediately skeptical of it. Like, what the hell is this? And then we also played it at E3 and we're just like, okay, yeah, this is probably not going to be good. So he goes to say it's a low point for the Metroid franchise. It left a sour taste in his mouth. Yeah, I agree with you. It was not good stuff. And it was really disappointing when for a while it was like, that's the last Metroid game we got for 5 years. What's going on? But yeah, but thankfully that franchise has been saved and Federation Forces.
We're in much better shape now than we were then.
Weird curiosity now. Oh, look, this BG here says, despite being a fan of the franchise and even the game to some extent, Star Fox Adventure wasn't what I signed up for at all. Honestly, wouldn't mind they took another crack at another Star Fox of its
same
game. Yeah, but obviously there's more appetizing meat on those bones elsewhere. Yeah, I do agree with that. You know, it's hard to make a 3D Zelda game. Kind of thing, turns out.
Like even recently, what was that Ubisoft one that just came out that was trying to be like Breath of the Wild?
Phoenix. It was called Gods and Monsters or something.
Yeah, and then they changed it. So Gods and Monsters,
Phoenix Rising.
Yeah, Immortal. Yeah. Even that's like, man, this is not anywhere near as fun as Zelda. So it like even today, other studios just struggle with it.
VJ Incoming says, my most disappointing Nintendo game is Paper Mario Sticker Star. Paper Mario is clearly a shell of what used to be in its heyday, but how Nintendo thought the mechanic of having your attacks and turn-based battles limited to single-use items you get throughout the game is just a mind-boggling decision. Yeah, Jeff, you're just so right. Like, literally, the worst part of like turn-based RPGs is using items. Even in Final Fantasy games where you have jobs, sometimes there's like the job that's like really good at using items. I'm like, thank you. That's fine. It's like, oh, this person can make potions. How about I just be the white mage who just heals with this magic spell?
Right. Like, so much better about just using magic instead of using a potion. There's got to be like studies done on this. I need to like actually find out what that is.
Saiklin says, I was very disappointed with Mario Party 8. Just didn't hit. My friends and I would gather around the old Nintendo 64 and play Mario Party 1 and 2 and then play Mario Party 8. I couldn't even tell you why exactly. Some level gimmicks actually seemed quite fun, at least on paper, but the experience just wasn't there. Jeff, I can't distinguish Mario Party 8 from my mind exactly. I don't think, was that a Wii one? Or was that wasn't a GameCube one, right? There's how many? That might have been GameCube.
Yeah, I know 4 was on GameCube. I know feel
four,
like eight.
4, 5, and 7 were on GameCube. I feel like 8 also somehow might have been. Now I'm gonna look it up. Mario Party 8 came out. That's a Wii.
On,
that's
the okay, first, yeah, that's I was going to say, I was gonna say 5 on the GameCube sounds like a lot.
That would be a lot, yeah, so. All right. Next up here, Crantus McBasketball says, my most disappointing Nintendo game without question is Majora's Mask. Everyone told me this game was amazing, and I didn't really get it at the time it came out. So I had years of people build up to me, only to get the 3DS version a shot, and only to find out I still hate it. I can't stand games that put you in a timer like that, and even as someone who likes weird stuff in Zelda, this game had a vibe I didn't enjoy. Yes, I woke up and chose violence today.
I get this one. I get it. I mean, if you don't like the timer, that's going to ruin everything for you.
You kind of have to get over it a little bit. Like, the timer is not as much of a problem as it does seem to be in the 3DS version.
Oh, I know.
That a bit. But I understand. I was not attracted to Majora's Mask for a long time until the 3DS remake gave me an excuse to finally get into it and gave me enough quality of life improvements that I was able to enjoy it. Screaming Madden says, my pick for most disappointing Nintendo game has to be Star Fox Adventures. On paper, a Zelda-like starring the cast of Star Fox set on a planet full of dinosaurs sounds awesome, but it's a game that really doesn't suit the franchise as the puzzle solving and combat felt weak. He goes on here a lot of things, finishes by saying, sorry, Crystal, your blatant furry bait design can't save Star Fox Adventures.
Damn right.
There's some people who disagree, but I want you're on the right side of history, Grant, just with basketball, I tell you what. Alex says, my biggest Nintendo disappointment isn't actually a first-party developed game, but it is an exclusive, Disgaea 6. It's one of the most games I was excited for last year due to being a longtime series fan, but just looks so bad on Switch. Disgaea games aren't big graphical powerhouses, but performance mode is apparently required for a stable frame rate.
Penny, shut up. That's a shame.
Really liked Disgaea 6.
Yeah, you messed up there, Alex. That's a shame. I hate when games that like should just run fine on the Switch end up like falling apart like that. And need to like drop down like 540p or whatever to like get a frame rate. That's
like garbage. That or like Sonic Colors. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Jayton says, most disappointing Nintendo game, Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival. As a game, it has potential to be great. The fact it required Amiibo pissed me off. I got it for $5. It was worth it only for the Amiibo. But it's another $5 bargain bin Nintendo game. That's not great.
Nope.
Oh, God. Oof. Man, I like...
There's a lot of answers, Mike. Oh, my God. I just scrolled down.
Yeah, and Turbo Sean here wrote a short essay, and that's okay, but that's not what I'm upset at. I'm upset by the answer. He said, my most disappointing Nintendo game is Super Metroid.
What the fuck? I gotta time him out.
He says, calm down and hear me out. Mike!
I'm hovering.
All right, we'll read a bit of this here, because I have to see what he's possibly thinking. As established on this very show, I don't remember. I feel like if he did, I must have ordered him then, too. Oh, I'm a gigantic Metroid fan, so that's established. And unlike Other M, which was starting to look suspicious to me before release, I was let down by Super because it's been built up for years as not just the best Metroid game, but one of the greatest games ever by all you boomers. We are not boomers. We're millennials.
Mike, that's only something boomer would say.
That's fine, but we're not boomers. I'm a little younger, so I grew up on the Game Boy Advance Metroids, which controls so much more smoothly. When I finally got around to playing Super around a decade ago, I just found it slow and plotting. Oh man, I know this might be contentious, but I think the game could benefit from something like Zero Mission's General Go in This Direction hit system, considering how big the map is. Oh my, he goes on with this slander, Jeff. He just goes on.
Who does? He's not in chat anymore, so I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
He's going on to saying that that Mercury's theme should remake it. I too woke up and chose violence today. No. Turbo Sean, I love you're just wrong. Super Metroid's perfect.
There is no Turbo Sean. He's been putting time out for at least 10 minutes.
good. Yes, sometimes. Yeah, that's what you get. I can understand. I feel bad because like I do know that feeling of having something just built up forever, and then you play it and you don't like it as much as everybody else, and it feels awkward. So I do understand, but it should not happen with Super Metroid.
Mike, I got to say that we might actually need to pick up the pace a little bit. Glancing at the clock, yeah.
All right, what's your cutoff time here?
About 45 minutes from now, actually. Yeah,
we'll be fine. All right. Jeremy G says Splatoon 2. I was hyped to finally try something online from Nintendo, something different, but Splatoon matches felt lifeless. That's interesting. I guess I'm not super in touch with the Splatoon community, so I don't know if it's like a thing where some people are like, I wish we were back in Splatoon 1 era.
No.
I don't know.
No. Splatoon 2 is very popular. I mean, he's saying like Splatoon matches are lifeless. I mean, I think it's someone who just doesn't like Splatoon, and that's fine.
Yeah, maybe. It says, ask me again in a week, and it might be Pokemon Legends, so that's funny. Velocity Prime 1s usually veer away from games that seem like they will be kind of whatever, but I did get swayed into Game & Wario, which is fine on its own, but it is not a WarioWare experience. So I think that's fair. Game & Wario was like that weird Wii U minigame collection thing, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, it probably should not have the Wario name. Real quick, Super Chat, Jeremy G. Splatoon does not offer you the opportunity to hammer Jeff from the passenger seat of a warthog. That's fair.
That's very true. Here's a take almost as bad as Turbo Sean's. New Felicit says, my most disappointing Nintendo game has to be Super Mario Galaxy. God,
what?
Or really any other Nintendo Wii motion control game. Yes, I know a lot of people love it, and some see it as a masterpiece, but I was not a lover of the Wii's motion controls. The game itself is probably very well done, but I couldn't get past motion controls. I love both 64 and Sunshine, so my expectations were kind of high. I mean,
go play it on the Switch then, and it has like very minimal motion controls at that point.
The motion controls are basically pointer controls.
Like, yeah, it's nothing. That's it. It's not the game is really just a controller game for the most part still.
Dizale said, apparently we are choosing violence in here today. In that case, Breath of the Wild is the most disappointed I've been in a game. Waited a whole year before I can finally get a Switch to play it just to get a bare bones open world game that was stripped of the dungeons I love Zelda for. Oh, Jeff, how mad are you?
I'm just like, even the, like, so many people were so like, oh, Breath of the Wild isn't even a good Zelda game. It's not a good game. And so many of them gone back to play it again since then and have actually been like, oh, I was wrong. Some of the most ardent people who are like standing against this game have come back and changed their mind. To me, that's like the sign of a game that's actually like a brilliant game. Because even when it like put you off at first, you realize there's something beneath it when you went back to it. The bare bones thing is just always incorrect. That's just not true. There's something around every corner. It's the spaces that are empty are done so for a reason. It's not Far Cry.
Yeah. Of course, people were talking about Halo, like, oh, like world feels empty. I'm like, just because like there's some space between things and the world has a chance to breathe. I don't like.
Yes.
We're saying it's empty now, right? Like, I don't know. It's a criticism that doesn't ring true to me. But also, if you don't like Breath of the Wild, that's fine. The dungeon thing I do get. I did miss the dungeons.
Sure, yeah.
Super Reese says, most disappointing Nintendo game is Super Paper Mario. The series was on a god-tier trajectory with Thousand Year Door, then it swayed away from traditional RPG mechanics, and it's been course-correcting ever since to no avail. It's funny, because now, like, Super Paper Mario, I feel like I probably would like that more than almost any of the other games that came since.
Yes.
Like, it is weird and different.
It's actually a good game. It's a good game for what it is, absolutely.
And it has some of the best writing in the series. Like, there's a whole, like, what Luigi's, like, a superhero thing. There's some fun stuff there. I would kind of like to play it again. Schwa218 says, my most disappointing Nintendo game was Twilight Princess. It's also the first time in the series I felt like they padded out the runtime and added a lot of bloat. He also ran into a glitch. Yeah, he had to restart after 30 hours of gameplay, so that sucks. Yeah, Twilight Princess is, that's an interesting one. It is, like, they had already started having slow openings at that point, but Twilight Princess's opening, it really is one that's kind of slow-ish, to the point where, when that finally does come to Switch, part of me dreads having to start that game again, you know what I mean? Just doing all that bullshit. Benji Toad says, my most disappointing Nintendo game is actually two, but for the same reasons, Mario Tennis Aces and Mario Golf Super Rush. He grew up with the Camelot game, so yeah, he just, you know, has really fond memories of that series from the kind of prime era there, with especially for me, I think about the Game Boy Advance stuff. He also talks about how he, you know, Golf Story has been a good alternative for him.
Yes.
I think a lot of people have been disappointed in Mario Tennis and Mario Golf for Switch. Like, there's a chance
there's a lot of reasons. Like, if you want that campaign at all, like, that's a good reason. And then also, like, they are light on some other features like tournaments and stuff, online tournaments.
Beef Hammer says, most disappointing Nintendo game is Legend of Zelda Phantom Hourglass. Only recently got to play, and despite how little it's talked about, I was looking forward to playing it since it's a sequel to Wind Waker, my favorite. Phantom Hourglass, however, is just boring. Yeah, I'm the same. Wind Waker is my favorite Zelda game, so the fact that this is a direct sequel to that, it should have been awesome. But Phantom Hourglass is probably, I think it's probably the worst core Zelda game. It's pretty rough and disappointing.
Yeah, I got a DSi XL, and I'm putting games on there, and I don't even know if I put either of the DS Zelda games on there, because I don't want to play them. They're not for me. And there's other Zelda games I haven't played yet that I would like to go back to.
I kind of want to try Spirit Tracks again, just because I like trains.
I know,
so it's like I should like
choo-choo
that.
Choo-choo boy. You're a real choo-choo boy.
Yeah, but I don't know. Epic Up World says, Donkey Kong 64 had such a great time playing the Donkey Kong Country games on the SNES with friends, and Donkey Kong 64 was such a wet fart. Donkey Kong 64 is interesting to me, because at that time, it seems like everybody liked that game fine. I didn't, but it seems like, you know, oh, it was another Nintendo 64 game, sure. But these days, people really do, like, rag on that game, and I think it's probably mostly deserved. I haven't played it in a while, but I don't know. Dr. Suss says, my most disappointing game was Super Mario 3D All-Stars. The games are great, but the emulation was lazy. They deserved a better effort. Yeah, that's absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been something we've gone over a lot. But yeah, I'm like happy it exists at this point, but I do wish it was a little bit better.
Visualizer says, my most disappointing Nintendo game is definitely Twilight Princess. I don't think it's a bad game per se. It's just that everything fell entirely flat for me, especially after three straight knockouts with Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, and Wind Waker. So yeah, that's another one for Twilight Princess. Although he says the dungeons were okay. I think that's probably the best part of Twilight Princess for me.
Yeah, there's some really good dungeons in Twilight Princess. That's true.
Yeah. T-Gibbs97 says, my most disappointing Nintendo game is Animal Crossing New Horizons. It's definitely not a bad game, just not for me. Maybe I was playing it wrong, but only being able to play for an hour or two while actually progressing before being told to come back later got annoying real quick. Yeah, if you like weren't into Animal Crossing and just came in because like of all the insane buzz that New Horizons got, I can understand having a bit of a this is it moment with it.
Yeah, and like early in the game, if like you are in that situation where you're like, I just want to keep playing, it's just not going to accommodate you. And that's how it is.
Anderson64 says, biggest recent Nintendo disappointment is Mario Golf Super Rush. So there's that one again. I played so much of the 3DS Mario Golf. I was really hoping for similar gameplay, shot mechanics, and something about the whole game feels off. Character designs are great, though. Skyward Sword was my answer until the HD remaster came out, which I enjoyed a lot. There you go. How about that redemption for Skyward Sword?
Yeah.
Winnie featuring Dante from Devil May Cry says, my biggest disappointment was Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, which Nintendo published. I was looking forward to playing it and playing it with the same friends I played the other two with, and it just did not translate as well. It felt like a PlayStation 2 game in all the worst ways, and the additions they made to make it modern only served to make the gameplay more convoluted. Yeah, that's a weird one. Like, I played it and it was fine. You played it relatively recently, right?
Yep. Yeah, a few weeks ago. I'm still sort of playing it. It's fine for me. I'm like, I had very low expectations because no one's talking about it anymore. Mike, when he did talk about it, was saying, oh, it's just fine. It's forgettable. And I'm like, I just kind of want to spend some time with those characters. And that's what it provides. And that's what I'm there for.
That's probably the best thing about it is that it actually does have a surprisingly good roster.
Yes. And it's like all the characters, even though it's a huge roster, get a moment. And that's cool.
B Papa says, biggest software disappointment from Nintendo that I can think of is Majora's Mask on the GameCube collector's disc. It crashed all the time. There's nothing that can be done to fix it. Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, man, I always forget you can play Majora's Mask like as a GameCube game. Like, that was an option.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Revan says, Mario Maker 2 was a real letdown to me. 100 Mario Challenge from Super Mario Maker 1 is way more compelling than the endless survival thing they went with it too. I bought a Switch late for it, quit playing after a week, and I haven't touched my Switch since. Jeff, you like the first Mario Maker more than Mario Maker 2, right?
Yeah, I mean, being able to, the way you make levels with the Wii U gamepad is just inherently better than what they had on the Switch. But being able to like still like, you know, undock it and stuff like that. So like just like I don't know. Having a stylus and stuff was better. But I still like Mario Maker 2 a whole lot. For me, it was never about like going into Endless Mode or 100 Mario Challenge. Either of those were just like I could take or leave. I mean, they're fine ways to engage with community. But it was always about like finding some people who I knew or had like had a rivalry with who would make levels for me to play. And both of them are very good at that. And I really appreciate them both for that.
Mitsaka says, my biggest Nintendo disappointment was Nintendo Labo. A few years ago, I remember Dan Reichert was on Giant Bomb podcast talking about his experience with Labo. He mentioned that after building everything, he simply threw it out afterwards because he saw no point in keeping it around. Labo, that was a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually still have unmade almost everything except for the piano is sitting over there. And I'm going to wait for my kids to be a little bit older and then we will make it and then I will throw it away because I mean, it's just cardboard and it's really about the making more than anything else.
Creaky Lake says, my most disappointing Nintendo game I can think of has to be Pokemon Sword and Shield. It was framed in the ads way more like an actual open world Pokemon game like many old fans dreamed of. Yeah, the Pokemon games have always been a little disappointing to me in recent years just because like I kept like thinking, oh, maybe these games are going to grow up with me. And now I get it. Like, no, that's not what they're doing. They're just going to keep making it for the next generation of kids. And it's very smart of them to do that. The series obviously makes $1 zillion. The question now is if Arceus is going to be like that, kind of that bridge there, like this is like the slightly more hardcore Pokemon game, or if it's just going to not really hit for that.
Yeah, then we really have no idea, even though it's a couple weeks out. We'll know soon.
We'll see. Giga64 says, I don't know why I was interested in Chibi-Robo Ziplash for the 3DS, but that game is middling at its best and downright insulting at its worst. Jeff, me and you have no Chibi-Robo experience.
That's right. It's something I always have meant to play. I have like found myself like downloading a ROM or like, I think even on like the first one was a GameCube game. Maybe I think I even like bought it once. I've never played it. Never even turned it on.
Here comes another painful answer. TBeaks15 says, uh-oh, most disappointing Nintendo game. Oh boy. If you guys haven't rage quit the podcast by now, maybe this will do it. My game is Super Mario Odyssey. To be fair, they're probably worst games that I've been disappointed in, but this is the game that I think about most in this context. After seeing the reveal trailer for this game at the Nintendo Switch reveal event, I don't think I've ever been more excited for a game. Oh, gosh. While capturing enemies is fun and enjoyable, it just wasn't what I initially wanted the game to be. To me, the game is still like an 8 or 9 out of 10. It's just not the 11 out of 10 I thought that it would be. I don't know. I mean, that's like the Mario Odyssey, I think, is maybe the best game that's come out in the last 10 years. I love Mario Odyssey. I have like no
problem. And the issues are that some of the enemies you capture don't feel as good as playing as Mario. And it's just like,
I don't even know. Like, that's what shocks me is that they all feel so good.
Right. And some of them are incredible. And to be fair, he does point out the Sprouty Onion and the Bird are great. And those are like definitely standouts.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're just meant to enable different things, and then that's fine.
Just think about how much better every single one of them feels than any of the costumes from Balan Wonderworld.
It's not even in the same universe, like literally billions of light years away from one another.
Jet Matt says, my most disappointing game is Mario Sunshine. Not saying it's a terrible game, but Flood makes it a very different kind of 3D platformer that I didn't take to. I'm always surprised how much people like get hung up on the Flood thing in this game, because it really is, especially for the platforming, it's just adding a hover button, right?
Yeah.
It's like adding a flutter jump from Yoshi. So I never understood how people got so tripped up on it. I guess it's a bit of a crutch, right? And if you're more of like a hardcore.
Yeah, but then they have those hardcore platforming levels that are fantastic. Right. So like that's what I really like in that game.
I want the game to be more of that, which I guess is fair.
Got a lot of that.
Nintendo Pro says, my most disappointing Nintendo game is going to get me banned from the Discord. Before I state this, however, I would like to remind both of you that I'm subscribed to both the Patreon and each of your respective Twitch channels. But my most disappointing Nintendo game. Ooh, has to be Wind Waker. Ugh, I've never been a fan of the art style. The
great right. was just I'm banning him. Sorry, the art style.
Oh, did not live up to the hype. I found it to be boring. While the Wii U release did improve it a bit, it wasn't enough to change my mind.
I want a link that turns into a wolf and fucks. That's what I want.
I love Wind Waker. And I was always on the right side of history. The moment they first showed it, I thought that it looked fantastic. And I didn't understand how people were losing their minds about that amazing art style.
I was very tuned in and was like, this is great. Everyone's going to hate this, is what I immediately thought. And then that's what happened to you.
Yeah, I was too naive to realize that at the time. Keywork says, my big Nintendo disappointment is actually the Pokemon franchise. The Pokemon company has no issue marketing and celebrating its 20th and 25th anniversaries, but refuses to do much for its older fan base. That's absolutely true. They're removing features like from the games, like turning off experience share and not adding any form of difficulty for order fan base they continue to market to, or some of the issues currently found with the franchise. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. It's just their concern is not so much us, because a lot of us will buy the games anyways, and it's more important that they attract new fans.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a question here too. With the announcement of Pokemon officially joining the Universal Parks Japan only currently, what kind of attraction would you like to see? I would like an Ollivander style show where you pick your first Pokemon with different areas of the park to catch more in a gym to battle.
That's a fun idea.
I should just straight up be a Pokemon Snap ride. You should just be in one of that car.
Yeah.
You should all get like a camera.
Right.
And you should like take pictures. And at the end, you can like transfer them to your phone. Or download
little
them
AR
from an app.
Little AR toy. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It should be something like that. Gerb Bear says, my most disappointing Nintendo game is Dr. Kawashima's brain training for Nintendo DS, as it revealed to me the dark truth that the Big N is really a house of hate. Whenever I used to train my brain using the highly scientific activities that rely on the stylus, then the game told me I was super smart. When I used the activities that rely on voice, then it told me I was as dumb as a bat of rod. That's pretty funny. Napper says, most disappointing is New Super Mario Bros. Wii. I liked Super Mario Bros. On the DS and was excited to see where Nintendo would take the series. When the Wii version released 3 years later, it was clear the franchise was going to feel bland and boring going forward. I know people like the Wii one a lot. I did also
this.
Feel that even then.
I get this, but like New Super Mario Brothers on the DS is actually kind of just a B-tier game. It's not very good. And the
but
Wii
the time,
one
that was
is
the first
so much
new,
better.
That was the first new 2D Mario game since Mario World. So
true.
Exciting.
But like New Super Mario Brothers Wii is actually fun and in a way that the DS one never was. But I still get this.
Actually, it's probably the first new 2D Mario game after Mario Land 2, right? Yeah, that's probably actually more correct. Lower Legend says, my most disappointing Nintendo game is every new 2D Mario game after the first one. Super Mario World is one of my favorite games of all time, and the new series has never updated the formula and let it grow. I mean, that's the problem with the new thing. Like, everything that they added to make it feel new was just the kind of that 3D polygon, 2D art style that they never shifted from, and that like annoying music. And then everything after that was just rehashing things from either Super Mario World or Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah, it's like Nintendo's worst qualities, where it's like, hey, we're going to find some creative ways to save a buck, and most of that is going to be reusing assets. And I remember like the time when New Super Mario Brothers for the Wii did come out, you could play it four players. It's like a four player cooperative side scroll, and that's great. But instead of like letting you play as Princess Peach and Toad for the third and fourth character, it was just two Toads. And they're like, why'd you do that? It's like, well, we could reuse the run animations for two Toads, and Princess Peach would have to have her own run animation. It's like, wait, what? That's not a real excuse. That's just you being.
That's not what you're supposed to tell us.
Yeah, that's just you being cheap. Like, that's messed up. And so it's like, but that's like the entire game's ethos is like save as much money and make as much money. And I guess I get it, but like it's not a good look. And since then, they've really sort of turned away from this in a lot of ways. They're just more sly about it.
Charles says, I'd have to go for Super Paper Mario. I had never had a Mario game before that I was excited to try out. However, it must have been quite a dumb 9-year-old as I could never work out how to get more than 30 minutes into the game. And I was really disappointed as I love the art style. I guess it's more of a reflection on me than the game, though. Oh, no, that's completely fine. All right, that's it for the answers we got from the community, of which there are many. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for all the first-time answers we got here, too. Jeff, let's get through these super chats.
Got some answers to this, and we got some questions and some comments. Let's get into it. So, from Casual, dear Nintendogs, my biggest Nintendo disappointment is easily Animal Crossing New Horizons. The GameCube and 3DS ones are some of my favorite games, and New Horizons doesn't hold a candle to either. I miss the mean villagers. I think that if you had any sort of like big relationship with your villagers in previous games, New Horizons was pretty disappointing because they sort of nerfed the interactions. They've added a lot of stuff since, I think, especially in that big update, but by then it's kind of too late for some fans.
FSA say Nintendo Bro in chat wrote Legend of Zelda Mid Waker, and I am intensely triggered right now.
Yes, yeah, you're vibrating so fast you can't even see it. From Jared Helder, I hope they have transforming tracks in Mario Kart 9. So we were talking about like what they might have in the new Mario Kart. Like transforming tracks is something from a Sega one, right? Didn't they have
So Sega and All Stars Racing Transform did that, but also Split Second did that, and it was fantastic. So
that's what we're really calling back to, Split Second. I do remember.
Yeah, that. Oh, what a good game! Holy shit! I wish that game got the backwards compatibility, like frame rate boost, because that'd be incredible.
Radu Pericle Tiganus says Golden Sun DS was a bummer.
Yeah,
it's one that I did download, and I'm like, I'll check that out on the DS.
Even I want to play Golden Sun 1 too, but I my impression that I get is that I don't even need to bother with the DS one because
Right. Yeah, I wonder if I'm like, I need to go back and like look at the sentiment, because like I remember like people being the same way about the Advance Wars on the DS. But that's just because they changed the characters and the tone so much, and it's actually a really good game. But I bet that's not what happened with Golden Sun. James Gold, I didn't get to rent a ton of games and rented Mario's Missing when I was 7 or 8. Boy, was I upset. I remember telling Dad, you can't even die. So back then, already making the argument for why it's not really a video game. It's like, there's no fail state, Dad. Yeah,
I had that game as a kid. I was very confused by it. I think I rented it too
and was also disappointed. I remember that.
I was like barely aware of what in Italy was back then. They're asking questions about like Rome and the cause. Like, I want to jump on a Koopa.
Special Nick. And this is Special Nick is giving us permission here to say that it's his game. That we were talking about on the podcast the other day when we were saying, hey, what's something we know that like it was kind of crazy? And he says, not going to lie, I laughed seeing Mike and Rachel react to Jeff showing them my secret Nintendo game that I myself don't believe is real. So he's also saying it's a Nintendo game. So,
that is a clue. So, yeah,
let the speculation begin. Yeah.
Friday, Jeff has heard about a game.
No one's going to guess it. Ridiculous. No one will ever guess it.
There might have been a secret clue in this episode earlier.
I hope I hope it's real because, man, that's going to be insane.
It would be ridiculous. I'll tell you
that's
that
the right
much.
Word. Ridiculous is the right word. Jared Helder, Zelda Phantom Hourglass had so much potential, but that was Jared's most disappointing Nintendo game. Demi Crow, they got to re-release Thousand Year Door in HD. So we were talking about that because we were talking about a lot of Paper Mario, but that's the good one. I do wonder if they like. That's a game they really could just re-release in HD on the Switch, and it would sell incredibly well.
There are a few games like that, F-Zero GX, like those are the two most obvious. Just like you don't have to do anything to them. Right. They don't even need quality of life improvements. Really. Right. Like, yeah. Like the way you had to for even Wind Waker, you literally just have to like send through a computer. That's it.
Let's see, from Matthew Price. Hey boys, I've heard recently that Pikmin 4 is being developed by Next Level Games. Next Level is a great developer. Has anybody heard about this?
I certainly hope that's not what they're doing. There's already a team that makes Pikmin games.
Right, and also like Next Level is very good. I guess you could emote the Pikmin in a lot of fun ways.
That's the one thing that makes me believe it, because Shiggy loved his Pikmin cartoons.
Right.
And he saw Next Level's amazing animation work. Maybe that's why he would put them on it.
I still would rather just like the Pikmin team to stick to Pikmin and for Next Level to Mario Strikers is the thing. That would be fantastic. Good Morning Games, biggest Nintendo disappointment is the complete failure to launch a competent online service alongside the Nintendo Switch.
Fair.
Yeah, that's fair. I was actually, if it was broader, I was going to say that myself, but that's almost too easy. Let's see, Turbo Sean. Jeff, you're the gameplay first guy around here. Can you do me a solid and play the opening of Super Metroid followed by like 5 seconds of Zero Mission? Thanks. Now listen, Mike was the one that was like completely scoffing at the idea that the Game Boy Advance ones feel significantly better than Super Metroid. I do think that the Zero Mission is one of the most perfectly controlling games of all time. So everything is going to feel a bit off compared to that. But Super Metroid in no way is plotting, which is the word that got you timed out for 10 minutes. And I'll do it again.
Plotting. Super Metroid plotting. There's like the shortest of intros in which you're still playing the intro. Then like you're immediately on Zeppus and you're running. I don't know, Sean. I don't know.
It's a great playing game. It still plays great.
Yes.
That does it for the super chats though. Thank you everybody for tuning in. Apparently people have maybe we should go negative more often, Mike. That's what really gets people
had
to respond.
A lot of responses this week, man. So I don't know if we just had a big boost of popularity, if this people were really excited about this topic in particular, but thank you everybody.
Enragement is the engagement, Mike. I think we found.
I'm sorry I had to summarize some of your responses, but there were a lot of them.
No one seems upset. Everyone gets it.
I think maybe I will say going forward, I will ask people to maybe keep their answers to like a sentence or two. How about we do that?
Brevity is the sole wit and all that stuff. And if they don't, we'll just have to paraphrase. And that's fine. That's the way it goes.
You can do what you want, but just know I might have to paraphrase. And speaking of next week, I think the topic we'll do next week, and I don't think we've done this. What gaming franchise do you wish Nintendo owned?
No, I don't think we've done that. That's good.
I don't think we've done that. So
that'll be fun.
That'll be a fun one. There's some obvious answers and there might be some not so obvious answers. So that could be a good time. Jeff, I know you probably have to get out of here in a little bit.
In the next 10 minutes or so, we can finish up the show just fine. Is
anything you've been playing that you want to talk about here?
Like I said, I did get the DSi. I got the R4 and it like came with a bunch of games, but it's a lot of Pokemon stuff. And I was like, I will try one of these. I remember everyone said there was a specific one on the DS that I was supposed to try. Maybe it was a Heart Gold and Soul Silver. Is that the one I was supposed to play?
Yes.
But also, I thought about playing Black and White 2 because I liked Black and White. I played a lot. That's the one I think the last
Black
one
and White
I really played.
Is also very good. Black and White 2, I don't think I liked as much, but the Black and White games are generally pretty good.
I remember people saying they were weird. I'm like, I got to find out what that means. But
Black and White was the first, was like the one where they actually kind of tried to tell a slightly more mature story, like ever so slightly mature. Right. Not like for by Pokemon standards, it's like dark and interesting, which is crazy. And that's back when I thought, like, oh, these games are going to like kind of, they're going to do like the Harry Potter thing, right? They're going to kind of grow up a little bit with me. Then it was like, then X and Y were like the opposite. It just went.
Yeah, but I'm so now that we're past game of the year, I'm like letting myself kind of look forward to stuff and start to play other games that I don't need to do to like make a game of the year list. So my plan right now is to play Stalker on PC. And then I'm like, okay, then I need a game on Switch as well for when I'm not at the PC. And so I am starting Death's Door basically on Switch.
Okay.
And it's I think it's going to stick on Switch. I think it doesn't mean that I'm like, I'm definitely not like falling in love. I don't see what people are falling in love with yet, but I'm very early still. I'm going to keep playing it. I'm going to see what it's all about. And but so far it's like, yeah, this is fine. It's fine for the most part. I don't hate it.
I kind of gave up after the first really big boss fight. Not the
early boss one. Yeah.
No,
okay.
The first quote unquote dungeon-y thing.
I will go at least that far and see how I feel.
Okay.
I swear to God, Jeff says Benji. Yep. I who knows? Maybe I'll fall in love with it eventually. We'll see.
Yeah. So I beat Donkey Kong 94 playing it on the Analog Pocket. So that was just fun to, I mean, it's been a while since I beat that game. Gosh, I forgot how good the final boss fight is and how hard it actually is, too. Like, it took me a lot of tries, but it was super fun. And I like how they go straight up like King Kong with it at the end there. God, that game is just fantastic.
Yep.
Like, it's still so underrated, I think. Like, even when I said I beat on Twitter, I still have people who just thought I meant Donkey Kong 64 when I said Donkey Kong 94. It's like, no, the much better game that you all should definitely have played. That does exist, I promise. God, is it good. So, man, if you got an Analog Pocket, that'd be, like, my number one recommendation, is to get a copy of Donkey Kong 94. Holy crap, I like that game. And then after being that, I just wanted to keep going the Analog Pocket routes. I actually plopped in Wario Land 3, which was a Game Boy Color game. But by the way, we barely have enough time to get into this, but the whole playing Analog Pocket has more than ever convinced me that the Game Boy and Game Boy Color are two separate platforms, Jeff. Especially going to stores and buying these games and there being clearly distinguished Game Boy sections and then Game Boy Color sections. There's no DSi section, Jeff.
Okay.
There's no new 3DS section, but the Game Boy Color section, and it's just as big as the Game Boy section.
The heart of my point has always been that the Game Boy Color is the prototype, the proto version of what the DSi and the new 3DS would become. And they would never do that fully again in the way they did with Game Boy Color. Game Boy Color is more of a delineation than either of those things, but at its heart, it is one of those things. It's just more its own. It's more on its own than those ever were.
We don't have time for this. We'll do maybe next week. We can finally do another poll on this. Maybe we have to just dedicate a whole episode to this topic at some point.
Yeah, when we run out of news or something, we'll just really go at it.
But Wario Land 3 is great. I forgot how much it is also basically a puzzle platformer. Like, you can't die in it.
No.
When you get hit, it's just different transformations that happen to you.
Because he's a bad guy, so when bad guys hit you, you don't die. Like, it's such a good idea.
Right, and it's like you use these different, like, you if a fire in me hits you, you just run catch on fire, and you can use that to solve puzzles and stuff. And it's kind of Metroidvania, but with all these mini levels, and you unlock abilities, you can go back and you can get, like, a new treasure in that. It's very good also. So I've just been having a lot of fun with these Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance games. In fact, I did find a cartridge of Mario & Luigi, and I bought that at one of these stores I went to. So after Wario Land 3, I think that'll be next for me, because it's been quite a while since I played that, so I'm excited. All right, Jeff, I think that does it.
Yeah, I'm looking at gameplay of Mario versus Donkey Kong, and I'm like, oh, it does look a lot like Donkey Kong 94. The
gameplay is exactly the same, and the minis in that are like the boss levels. So right. Those are like the little bits where you have like the whole, you're controlling the lemmings thing.
Okay, yeah, I'm curious myself. I'm going to play a lot of that tonight.
I bet it's a lot of fun. I don't like its art style as much. Like Donkey Kong 94, it has all the different biomes, right? Like, it has all the different worlds. Everything in Mario vs. Donkey Kong is a toy factory. That's the whole
thing. That's a bummer, but whatever.
And stuff like that. So it'll be interesting. All right, Jeff, let's get out of here.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm hitting the button.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to Last of the Nintendogs. We will be back on Friday with Games Beat Decides. We're going to be doing another kind of Game of the Year discussion here. We're going to be picking some categories and stuff like that. We already did Game of the Year last week, so check that episode out if you have not. Jeff, where can people find you?
Yeah, I'm Jeff Grubb on Twitter. Vote in our Game of the Year thing that's going over on Games Beat the Science, but you're all part of the Game Mess community. So I believe I put the link in the server news in the Discord, but it's also, it might be in the description of this podcast. The voting for that for this round will be closed this Friday, and then we'll have the finals next week. So keep an eye out for that. And we'll, if you want to have your say, I guess Metroid Dread is still in there, and then the rest, I think, are Xbox games. So. And you're one representative here, everybody, if you're a Nintendog.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week.
Bye, everybody.
Jeff, I had to pee. That's why we're taking a break.
Yeah, I figured. I could tell. Yeah, I could tell. You got to do what you got to do.
Subway soda. Woo!
What does he normally do here? He plays the tin whistle? Well, I ain't got no tin whistle, so I'll put on a play. Let me see here. Who do I got here?
Hey, it's me, Wario. Ah.
I don't know if I can I do about. He just goes. Rah,
rah. You are looking very handsome today. Huh? Oh, we're bad, but that makes it feel good.
What the hell is going on?
Let's go find a cheap motel. Mario's Hotel.
Is that the name of the game? Mario's Hotel?
Sure, I believe you.
All right. The rest of that's going to be on the Patreon. So if you want to see what happens next. Yes, the only fans, that's right.
Yes. I was about to say, we don't ban people for the bad takes. Otherwise, we don't have, like,
yeah,
people
right, yeah, we to make have the listeners. Podcast. Yeah. Wow, okay, I was going to say the listeners, but...
No.
Why am I unzipping my pants? All right, let's talk about this. This is the Amazon Fire Phone from Jeff Bezos. It came out in 2014. And if you look there, you can see that it still has an active data connection. I have never paid a bill for this. I made a call with it the other day. It still works. So Jeff Bezos gets a bill for it, I guess, and he keeps it going. So, yeah, it's the weirdest thing.
He's just a homie, you know?
Yeah, he's just a homie, right? Yeah, he's going to pay your bills if you need it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, have fun. Oh,
thanks, man.
All right, we're going to jump back into it. You ready, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's do this.
No, I feel a burp coming on. Maybe? No? A little gassy? Oh, there it is. Wait, no.
I made Wario and Bowser kiss.
Very nice. Very good content.
Yeah.
All right.